We are continuing the series of messages about the family, about marriage. It is one that is urgent, one that we need to be talking about for our culture today, marriage, the state of marriage and the state of family. We continue to that. And the question that I propose this morning, the title of this message, who is responsible for the Christian home life? Who is to be given recognition for when it goes well, and who is to be blamed for when it goes bad? Who is responsible? Who has that responsibility? The strength of our fight for families seems to be like we are standing on cracking ice. I watched a video a while back about these ice climbers. They were climbing up, had their ice picks, climbing, and you noticed that the water was starting to drip next to them. The ice was melting as they were climbing this mountain with ice picks, and they barely made it to the top before you watched the ice fall, and they could have gone with it. Maybe kids can relate to the same analogy of video games where they have the character that jumps on the block and the block disappears as they're trying to jump off the block onto the next block, kind of like Mario Brothers and other similar video games. Can kind of relate to that same analogy. The ice is melting, the ice is crumbling, and when the fight for our families, the fight for marriage can feel like that ice that's melting and crumbling. The problem of marriage, the breakdown of marriages, the divorce rates in our culture and our world, it's at epidemic proportions, and it's something that we need to perpetually be communicating, what God's Word says about marriage, what God's Word says about family, the importance of it, the value of it, is something that is so important for us today, something that we need to be discussing. So who is responsible? Is the government responsible? Is it the government's job to make sure that our families and our marriages are going well? Are we to blame the government and give the government credit when we have a good marriage or when we have a good family? I would say no. Is it the school's job? Should the schools be the ones to give credit or to blame when the marriages are going well or the marriages are falling apart, when the families are succeeding or the families are breaking apart? Do we give that credit and the blame to the schools? I would say no. I don't think the school has that responsibility. Is it the church's job? Is it our responsibility for preaching that message and for getting that message out to you about the family and making sure that the family is doing good and that it's succeeding and that it's not failing? In part, I would say yes, absolutely. We should be preach that message and get that message out to you, and that's why this series is one that we're going through right now. But I would say the majority of the responsibility lies with the family unit. The family unit is where that responsibility is. Everything points right back to the family unit. The husband, the wife, the children, and how important they are to the dynamic of that home. Whether it succeeds, whether it fails, the responsibility is laid right at the root, right at the family. So first off, we are responsible to Christ for our home. We are responsible to Christ for our home, not the government, not the schools, no one else. We are responsible to God for the success or the failures of our home. That's on us. We are responsible. Paul speaks in the book of Ephesians, Paul speaks of the Christian walk. He speaks of imitating Christ. Be like Christ. He talks about what kind of Christians we're to be. He speaks of being filled with the Spirit and the importance of having that Spirit-filled life. And he says this in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to be quite a bit in Ephesians today. We'll bounce around a little bit, but Ephesians 5 through 6 is mostly where we're going to be at. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. This begins the section on family. We're probably going to talk about family. He begins to talk about the dynamic of the family, the husband, the wife, the children, all of that. But he begins that whole section with this very statement. But submitting to one another in the fear of God. The responsibility is placed on us. It's on us. We are the ones responsible. We are the ones to be submitting to one another. And we are the ones to be doing it in respect of Christ, in the fear of God, according to His Word. How we follow, whether we do it according to it, that is on us to be following God's Word. The responsibility is on us. The school's not teaching to do it according to God's Word. The government's not teaching you to do it according to God's Word. The fear of God is on you and me, whether we follow His Word, whether we follow His guidelines, His plans. God tells us that the home is of divine origin. The home, the family, that whole family dynamic is a part of God's plan. God's the one that gave us the family. He's the one that gave that whole family dynamic to us. It's not the invention of man. It's not the invention of the government. God gave us the family. According to the book of Genesis, God made man, and He made him in His own image. And the Bible says that it was not good for man to be alone. Anyone, any man that's ever spent any significant amount of time by himself knows that it really stinks being alone. And God knew that it was not good for man to be alone. And so He made a plan. He made woman from man. And He blessed them. And He said in Genesis 1:28, which you see on the screen there, then God blessed them. And He said to them, and catch that, He blessed not just the man and not just the woman, He blessed the relationship. He blessed the family dynamic. He blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Again, children, family dynamic, all a part of God's plan. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. From then on, man came from woman. Women and men came from woman, and equality. An equality to one another. And Paul points that out in his epistles, that there's that equality there. Yes, woman came from man, but man comes from woman, and there's that equality that God has given us. All are equal to God. All are in God's image. We're all made in God's image, all equal to God, from each other, that equality. And notice this, family is God's design. Children are a part of God's design. God did not create us. The marriage relationship was a part of God's design. God did not make us for free love. If you remember from the 1960s and around that era, the whole free love experience, God did not design us for free love. We were made better than the animals. He made the family unit. Husband, wife, children. It was all a part of God's design. Consequently, the Bible contains divine laws to safeguard the home. God gave us instructions to help us to safeguard that family dynamic. It's kind of like out on the West Coast in the mountains, you drive through the mountains and you have these, well, you have guardrails just about everywhere, but especially going through the mountains, and some of those guardrails, they're not literally guardrails like you see on the freeways. These are stone, big stone, huge, huge things on the side of the road to keep your car from going over the edge, because where those guardrails do not exist, it's a scary experience for those that have driven out towards, there's a lake with a, can't remember, Crater Lake. Those who have driven out towards Crater Lake, you know those roads which lack the guardrails, and that's out in Oregon, for those that don't know. Crater Lake in Oregon. Scary experience if you've ever driven in a mountain without guardrails, and there's these narrow roads, and you're looking over the edge, and like, oh my, that is a long drop-off. If you were to drive your car right off, that would be a long fall. And thank goodness for the roads that do have guardrails. And like I said, there's some huge guardrails out there. It's kind of also like with computer systems and how we need to safeguard ourselves from viruses or from other bad things that can get on our computer. And what do we do with computers? We put antiviruses and these anti-malware things that we put on the computer to safeguard ourselves from the viruses and from all the bad stuff that can get on the computer. We put parent guards and we put all sorts of stuff. We guard ourselves. We guard our hearts. We guard our minds. We safeguard. God has given us for the family dynamic. God has given us for the home, the husband, the wife, the children. He's given us these safeguards through His law. The Ten Commandments, they summarize God's desire for us and from us. They help us to understand who God is, to understand His character. We know God better through His law. And they will never be done away with. Not the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says this, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Right in the Ten Commandments, He gives us some safeguards for that family dynamic and teaches us how to treat our parents. The family begins with the father and the mother. The family begins with the husband and the wife, a man and a woman. That's kind of a scary conversation for our culture today, but I will say it because the Bible says it. Honor your father and your mother, a man and a woman, this family dynamic. God teaches the importance here also, not only of who is at the head of this family dynamic, the husband and the wife, the father and the mother, but He also teaches us to respect, to honor our parents. What an important safeguard, what an important teaching. I remember, and it's almost innate. It's almost something that's in us, because I remember when my mom, she got hurt. I was about the age of one of these younger ones. She got hurt real bad. She was bleeding. She had a bicycle. She was riding a bicycle and fell over and hurt herself, and she was bleeding, and I freaked out as a kid. I tried to do everything I could to make sure my mom was bandaged up, and I was so worried for her and trying to run and grab the Band-Aids, and, you know, I was little. And, of course, my son, Josiah, he did this just recently. I was laying down, and he chucked this little ball. He didn't mean anything bad by it, but he chucks this little ball at me and nearly hit me, and I freaked out, and oh, he came to tears. He was so upset that he nearly hurt his dad. There's just something innate in us that wants to love and wants to respect our parents, wants to honor them, and I believe God has put that there. But sometimes the lines do get blurry. Sometimes things happen and the lines get blurry. Sometimes there's a lack of trust. There's wounds, there's hurts, things that damage that relationship between a parent and a child. And God's instructions are there. They bring us right back to what He wants, right back to His truth. Even if the lines are blurred and we forget to honor and respect them, God's word is still there, teaching us to honor them, to honor your father and mother. This is true of marriage too. If you go two verses later, in verse 14, it says, "You shall not commit adultery." You shall not commit adultery. God intended for sanctity in marriage. God's instruction to us was to have this sanctity, this unison, which is unblemished, undefiled, in marriage. That is what God wanted. And so He tells us in His command, do not commit adultery. Don't defile that marriage relationship. Yet we are tempted. A man might see a pretty woman. A woman might have a man that listens to her and seems to respect her. And that temptation is there to defile that marriage relationship. The temptation there is to give in to our desires, what God says not to do, but we're tempted. Yet God's instruction brings us back. The car might go off the road, but God's instruction brings us right back to that road, to His desire for us, to what He wants for us. We are responsible to Christ for our home. God gives us His instructions, His desires for us, tells us what that dynamic is, but we are responsible to Christ for our home. We need to be following His word. My second main point that I want to draw out of this message today, the New Testament contains guidelines that point toward wholesome and creative family relationships. So not only do we see God's desires and God's safeguards in the Old Testament, but if we look over into the New Testament, God gives us these guidelines for how to have a wholesome and wonderful relationship in the family dynamic. There are reasons that God gives us these guidelines. If we determine to follow God's teaching in marriage and in the family, we'll begin to recognize our own faults. We'll start recognizing our own failures. When you begin living according to what God wants for you, you begin to recognize where you don't live quite according to how He wants you to live, where you fall short of what He wants, where you make mistakes. And begin to see that not only in yourself, but you can begin to see it in the one in your life. You begin to see it in your spouse. You begin to see it in your children. Your children begin to see it in you. You see it in each other, where you see those cracks, those faults, those failures in one another. We see our need for forgiveness as well, where we need forgiveness from our spouse, where we need forgiveness from our children, where our children need forgiveness from us, where we need that forgiveness from each other. We begin to see that. And God knew the delicate balance of those relationships. He knew it, and so He gave us these guidelines. First of all, let's begin with the guideline for husband and wife. Again, Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in fear of God. This passage, again, begins our section on marriage and family. I know that it deals with everyone. As Christian believers, we're to be submitting to one another in fear of God. But it's especially true, it begins the section on the family, and it's especially true of the husband and the wife. We need to be submitting to one another in fear of God. When you are married, when you become married, it begins a process of adjustment. You're adjusting to each other. You're two individuals with two different likes and dislikes, and you begin to learn how to get along, how to work together. You make that process of adjusting, a kind of a giving and a taking. A submitting to one another is that process of adjusting, how to live together. You're no longer two individuals with two separate rights, but you're people becoming one, living together in one home. And yes, you're still individuals. You still have your own thoughts. But you need to learn to coexist at the same time in one home. Submitting to one another in fear of God. We cannot mistreat each other. We cannot mistreat each other. The husband and wife cannot mistreat each other. You cannot mistreat your children even without knowing that God is watching. And God is not happy with you mistreating your spouse. God is not happy with you mistreating. I'm not talking about spanking. I'm talking about mistreating your children. God sees that. He's not happy about that. I preached, I believe, last week or the week before. No, Chip preached last week. I preached the week before and mentioned about the consequences of that mistreatment. We need to submit to each other in the fear of God. So let's look at two guidelines for the wives specifically. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. If taken out of context, this is such a scary verse, and the next one I'm going to give you is scary as well. If taken out of context, this can be seen as discrimination. If we remove the whole context here, we can see where we are discriminating against women. But this is not the intent. Paul was not meaning to badmouth women and say how horrible women are and they need to come under the thumb of their own husband. That's not what Paul was saying. All are equal before God. We come from each other. We're both made in God's image. And so we know Paul also says in Galatians, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Before I tell you what I think this does say, let's look at verse 33, another scary verse. Nevertheless, let each one of you, and particularly, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, so easy to take out of the context of why Paul put it there. Again, a verse that would be easily used for abuse in the marriage. Our scripture deals specifically with the problem of self-assertion, of this individual self-assertion, this insistence on private personal rights and privileges. When you become a husband and a wife, you become one, and you learn to make decisions together. The idea of submitting, Paul is advising within the marriage the wife to recognize her husband as a sort of CEO of the corporation and adjust herself to this. He isn't suggesting that the woman is servant or slave to her husband, but rather she willingly allows for her husband to lead in the home. A volitional allowing of her husband to lead in the home. It has been recognized, it's been said, that the so-called democratic marriage, the democratic family, headless or two-headed or however they want to put it, it often leads to confusion and it leads to disappointment in the marriage and in the home. It's something that's been recognized, it's something that's been recorded, written down, stated. The subordination of the wife to the husband, I'll say it again, it is to be voluntary. It's of her own volition to follow the lead of her husband. It's not a position of slavery. It's not a position where the husband begins to beat and abuse his wife because the wife doesn't do what he thinks that she should be doing. It's not a position where he begins to yell at his wife because she hasn't done the exact thing. Rather, it's a volitional position where she chooses, as the wife of her home, to follow her husband's lead, to allow him to be the CEO of that corporation. The subordination of the wife, voluntary. The reverence is given to a husband who has deserved it. Let's look at two guidelines for the husband. Husbands, we're not off the hook. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The word here to love, it's a sacrificial, a self-giving love that's illustrated by Christ. Jesus sets the example. He showed us how to love our wives. He loved the church. He gave himself wholeheartedly for the church, even died for the church. A self-sacrificial love that God is asking of us husbands to give. Love which gives without reservation. We don't have to wait for her to do something for us. Rather, we love her regardless. A love which gives and gives. It's essential for the success of a family relationship. And it should characterize all family members, but especially the husband. Especially the husband here. To love without reservation, without qualification, to give of oneself over sacrificially. Verse 28 and verse 30 goes on. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. Husbands, we are to love our wives. In verse 28 there, we are to love our wives. That self-sacrificial love that gives, just like we love our own body, that nourishes and cherishes. It is a one-flesh relationship. A one-flesh relationship. We are to think of her as our own. Not as a separate individual, not as somebody that we're just taking care of, but rather she is one with us. We are to care for her as if she were one with us. We are to be concerned about the well-being of our companion. We are to be concerned about how she is doing. We are to nourish her and cherish her. Men are to care for more than self, but to care and to cherish and to nourish and take care of our spouse. Pretty challenging. If we were to stop there, those two would be challenging in themselves. The family dynamic, the dynamic that God has given for husbands and for wives, and how to be one together, how to relate to each other, how to allow for one to lead, and how to follow that lead, how to love, how to respect. God gave us that dynamic. The world did not give us that dynamic. The government did not give us that dynamic. The schools did not give us that dynamic. Some schools might try to talk about that dynamic, but God is the one that gave us the home. God is the one that gave us the family, the husband and the wife. Let's look at some guidelines for children. Ephesians chapter 6, jump over to chapter 6 and look at verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. We are to obey our parents. Again, God's the one that gave us this dynamic. God is the one that gave us this instruction. And he gave this particular instruction through Paul, the apostle. But it's God that has given us to follow the teachings here. Children, you are to obey your parents. There was a missionary and an author who used to have problems. He says, I used to have problems getting my son to clean his room. He goes on, I would insist that he do it now. You can just picture that missionary. Clean your room, do it now. And he would always agree to do it. But then he would not follow through, at least not right away. So I can kind of relate to this missionary so far. You know, you tell your child to do the dishes, and I remember when I was young, okay, my children aside, when I was a kid, and my parents would say, do the dishes. And I would say, okay, I'll do it. But it could be hours, it could be days later before I got those dishes done. It wasn't that I didn't want to obey my parents, because I was willing to do the dishes, just not when they told me to do those dishes. So I can kind of relate to this missionary here who says, do it now, but then it would be way later before they even got to it, if they got to it at all. So he says, after high school, he joined the Marine Corps. Not the parent, but the child. Which is where he is now. When he and I were on the plane together coming home for this leave after boot camp, he said to me, my life makes sense. So his child comes home and he's explaining to this is a true story, by the way. This child is explaining to his missionary parent, he says, my life makes sense to me now, Dad. Everything you said and did when I was growing up makes sense. I really, really understand. He goes on, oh yeah, Dad, I added, I learned what now means. Okay, so it took boot camp, it took the Marine Corps to teach this young man what now means, to do it now. But he finally got it. God wanted children to live in obedience to parents. I'm not going to gloss over that one, that's the truth of this instruction here. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the right thing to do. Children, obey your parents. Why? Because God appointed those parents to be teachers, to be guides, to be the counselors for those children, to be the one that corrects those children. God appointed parents to that position to help guide those children in the way that they should go. That was God's appointment. It is our job as parents to guide those young ones. And as such, children are to obey that authority that God has given them. Children are to obey their parents. That is what God appointed. This is divine order. And children who disrespect their parents, outright disobey their parents, are exposing themselves to danger. Young people, if you are at war with your parents, you're walking on thin ice. You are treading on that ice that is melting below. You're ready to plunge you into disaster. God has given you this instruction to obey your parents, to honor your parents, to respect your parents. He's given you this for a reason. That is the authority that God has placed in your life to help guide you. Parents are not always perfect. That's obvious. We're not always right because we're humans and we make mistakes. We mess up as parents. Sometimes we're trying to figure it out ourselves. And in most instances, we have the desire for the best for our children. We want the best for our children. We're not out to destroy or ruin our children's life. We want to see our children succeed. Most parents, that's what they want. Many instances, we have a better concept of what our children, we have a better concept for our children than they have for themselves. We have a better concept of what they should be doing or where they should be going than they probably have for themselves. They don't have the life experience. They don't have the wisdom that God has given us as parents. They don't see the big picture that you see because you've been there and you've done it. So we have that understanding. We're not out to ruin our children, but we're out to give them the best life. And this is a position that God has placed you as a parent into. You are the authority in their lives. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Today I encourage you to invite Christ to come into your home. I encourage you to invite Christ to be a part of your life, a part of your marriage, a part of your husband-wife relationship. I encourage you to invite Christ to be a part of that parent-child relationship, to be a part of all of that. Let Christ assist you in the problems that disturb you and the questions that might upset you along the way. Let Christ help you out in that. I encourage you. Invite Christ to be a part of that relationship. And invite Christ to be the glue that ties your marriage together. Invite Christ to be the glue that ties you and your children to each other. Seek to please Christ in your attitudes and the activities that you engage as a family. Let him be a part of that relationship. In whatever you do and as a family, let him be a part of it. I encourage you, invite Christ into your home. Deliberately seek to serve Christ in your family, in your relationships. Make him a core of your home. Serve him as a family. As for me and my house, as he says, we will serve the Lord. Make Christ that center of the family. Be a witness for Christ in to your family members. Be a witness to Christ to your family. Share what God has done for you and how he's helped you. Witness to what God is doing in their lives. Make Christ a part of that home. Each of us are responsible, at least to some degree, for the well-being of the home of which we are a part. God wants to help us, and he will help us in that home dynamic. God has given us the home dynamic. He's given us his word, and at the end of the day, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to follow him. Can I get an amen? Amen. We thank God for his word. Worship team, come up. And we're going to close with a benediction after the singing today. So I want to say a word of prayer for the homes. If I can just get a real quick showing of hands, just honest, just be honest. Who has a home that needs prayer right now? Who needs prayer for their home, for their family, for their children, for their marriage, whatever? It can be anything. Let's pray for each other if you want. Grab a hand of a family member. Let's pray for each other. Father God, we thank you for the home. We thank you for the family dynamic. God, you gave it to us. It wasn't the government or schools that gave it to us. Lord, you gave us this family dynamic. You gave us the husband and the wife. You gave us children and how the children come to be. Lord, it's all from you. You gave us this instruction of how to relate to each other, how to let one lead, how to follow, how to love, how to respect, how to serve one another in fear of the Lord. Lord, you gave us this instruction to be good children, to obey our parents, for us as parents to be that authority in their life that guides and leads them each step of the way. Lord, help us to do that. Give us the wisdom and the guidance and the strength. Give us the grace, Lord. Give us the forgiveness, the mercy that we need for one another. Help us be forgiving when we have faults and failures, and we see that in each other, Lord. I pray for that today. Strengthen our homes, Lord. Strengthen our families. Strengthen that family dynamic. Where there is a problem in the home, Lord, help us to fix it, Lord. Be the center of the home. Be the glue in that relationship, I pray right now. In Jesus' name, amen.